Jodie McVernon is a professor and director of epidemiology at Melbourne's Doherty Institute. Professor McVernon, what's your response to how the curve is flattening in Victoria?
I wouldn't say we have a curve that's flattening. I think we've got a few spot fires still being stamped out, but I think the measures that have been in place have definitely stamped out community transmission pretty much altogether. And now we're just dealing with those grumbling embers in aged care and other settings where we know infection's going to be hard to control.
The trigger for further relaxing Melbourne's restrictions will now be based on case numbers, not dates, and those tests are dependent on there being 5 cases or fewer in 14 days and no cases over 14 days, yet that won't happen till at least mid-October. How realistic are those benchmarks?
Look, I do have some residual concerns, and I think I'm still reassured by the clear messaging that those numbers will be interpreted in light of the epidemiology and the evidence. I think at a national level, the first roadmap out of the first lockdown had target numbers that incorporated the possibility of small localised clusters and outbreaks that were able to be stamped out so that that easing wouldn't be put off course. And I think that, would very much like to hear that same messaging. There was some discussion yesterday about outbreaks, small clusters maybe putting us off course, but really they're the ability for the Victorian public health sector to demonstrate its capacity to put out spot fires, because we know that that's going to be our expectation moving forward.
Are you confident now that Victoria has the capacity both in contact tracing systems and, well, the hotel quarantine was deficient? Are you confident that the lessons of those things have been learnt and changes put in place to address hotspots?
Yeah, look, I think we have seen a massive scaling up of capacity. I think what would be really helpful for the public to hear over the coming weeks is probably more of a dialogue about what that capacity looks like, but also if there is an incursion, what is it that the public is going to do? What is the approach going to be? You know, what will be expected of us? It's great to have a vision of a COVID normal and a COVID normal Christmas, and everybody wants to be there. I think some of the government's concern has been that people will kind of go crazy when the restraints are lifted. But having that shared understanding that, you know, you don't need a model to tell you there is 100% probability that we will have more incursions in the future. So when those happen, how are we going to respond? What are we going to do together? We're going to do this, you're going to do that. You know, having that shared understanding, I think, will be very helpful in seeing how that active response will be initiated and what the public will need to do around it to support it.
There's a bit of frustration, I think that's a fair word to use, about the Victorian government's approach. The Prime Minister pointed out yesterday that New South Wales was open when it had a similar case number that Victoria's experiencing now. Are you worried that it is a bit too conservative and people will get overly frustrated?
I did note that comment, and I was reflecting that they're the kind of numbers that would actually be highly infectious in the model that was presented to us back in early September. They were people who were out and about in the community, going to gyms, going to shopping centres, you know, whereas our case numbers are largely a population in well-defined settings. So, you know, I think we're very pleased to see the flexibility that's there. I was particularly pleased to see so many of the measures that have been disproportionately borne by women being eased, you know, childcare, in-home childcare, kids up to year 6 going back to school. I would love to hear what's happening with year 7 to 10 in the roadmap and what the plans are for them to get back to school by the end of the year. They've hardly been there. But, I think, you know, I'm keen on the interpretation and the analysis and those sorts of things that will support us easing up and that planning for how we're going to deal with things in the future, because, you know, the worst thing to get in the public's head is that this is one thing that we do and then it's over. It's a bit like cleaning the house, you know. You can clean the house perfectly, but it's going to get dirty again, so what are we going to do next?
There's been some publicity about a new 15-minute test for COVID rather than the current test that can sometimes take days to get a result. You're urging caution about this new test. In simple terms, why?
Look, we really need to expand our suite of tests for all of the different reasons that we use them. But we do appreciate that most of the rapid tests, while they're fantastic in terms of timing, will lose something on what, you know, sensitivity and specificity, their ability to accurately pick up cases and not miss cases. That said, that doesn't mean they don't have value, but we need to be sure we're applying them in the settings that are most useful. And there's a lot of thinking going into that at the moment to work out how they fit into our suite of measures moving forward. One of the hardest things to do once we get down to very low case numbers or no apparent infections is being sure that we're still there. you know, how are we actually confident that we don't have infection in the community? And so we need ongoing strategies for testing to reassure ourselves that we're looking and that we're, you know, actively turning over stones and that we're seeing nothing by virtue of looking, not by virtue of not trying. So I think it will fit into those suite of measures moving forward.
Professor McVernon, thanks for talking to AM.
No worries. Thanks, Sabra.